Chapter 3. Intelligence. Introduction. One of the key functions of an underground, whether an insurgency or a resistance against a foreign invader, is intelligence. Leaders must have relevant and timely information in order to make decisions and lead their organizations. Hence, underground operations typically include provisions for the systematized collection of intelligence on enemy forces, both police and military, and dispositions, political developments, lucrative targets for sabotage or guerrilla action, defectors, population dynamics, criminal and law enforcement activities, and a variety of other factors. Intelligence thus feeds senior-level decision-making as well as small-unit tactics, and virtually every other activity of the underground, the guerrilla force, and the public component. In this endeavor, the insurgency or resistance usually has the advantage of knowing the terrain and the people. Drawing on the strength of clandestine networks and friendships, undergrounds often have access to intelligence by virtue of having Confederates operating throughout the theater of conflict. The Viet Minh, later Viet Cong, insurgency demonstrated this strength. Pursuant to the 1954 Geneva Accords, large-scale regrouping of the population both north and south of the 17th parallel left underground operatives distributed throughout the country, connected with each other through clandestine networks. The insurgents in the south were perfectly positioned to provide military and political intelligence to the communist leadership in Hanoi. The Communist New People's Army, NPA, which grew to its zenith during the presidency of Ferdinand Marcos, 1965 through 1986, likewise demonstrated the efficacy of cultivating close relations with rural communities. By providing impoverished and disenfranchised peasants with real economic advocacy and opportunities for democratic organization, the NPA was able to win the loyalty of the people, who in turn provided accurate, timely intelligence concerning government operations and countermeasures. In the case of the Provisional Irish Republican Army, PIRA, Republican insurgents were successful in preventing British security forces from infiltrating base areas and gaining intelligence by establishing close relations with their communities and using both coercion and incentives to encourage loyalty. Eventually, government forces intensified their efforts to gather intelligence through informers, surveillance, and interrogation. The struggle for control of intelligence continued throughout the 1970s, and the increasing success of British efforts led to the PIRA changing its organization and practices to better secure itself. PIRA members began to organize in small cells rather than in the larger battalions of the earlier years. They also took greater care in instructing recruits to refrain from discussing operations with anyone. Their sophisticated response to British intelligence efforts included training members to avoid leading forensic evidence after an operation and how to resist interrogation after capture. Underground intelligence networks most often extend beyond the borders of the movement's native country. It is common for undergrounds to have cells distributed throughout the world among populations sympathetic to the cause. The Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, LTTE, for example, maintained more than 50 offices and cells in foreign countries, especially in countries with large numbers of Tamil expatriates, such as England, France, Australia, Canada, and the United States. One Canadian intelligence report noted that the LTTE had communication hubs in Singapore and Hong Kong to facilitate its weapons procurement activities, with secondary cells in Thailand, Pakistan, and Myanmar, and front companies in Europe and Africa. From these locales, LTTE operatives coordinated purchases and shipments from Asia, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. This chapter examines specific intelligence practices of insurgent and resistant movements from World War II through the present. Military intelligence. Insurgent and revolutionary movements typically operate from a position of numerical and technological inferiority vis-à-vis government forces. Offensive operations therefore require accurate intelligence in order to maximize effectiveness and maintain security of often small, vulnerable guerrilla forces. Undergrounds provide this critically important military intelligence not through normal military methods, but rather through their infiltration of society and their networks of clandestine operatives. Underground workers and their associated operatives within the auxiliary assist guerrilla forces by providing valuable data about the enemy and the area of impending combat. This information may include the number of enemy troops, their deployment, their unit designations, the nature of their arms and equipment, the location of their supply depots, the placement of their minefields, the pattern and routine of their patrols and their morale, as well as various topographical factors, such as swamps and ravines that govern access to enemy emplacements. Sometimes this information is obtained directly by underground personnel through visual observation of the targets. For example, members of the French Resistance reconnoitered German coastal defenses in the preparation for the Allied invasion of France in June 1944. During the early years of World War II, Vietnamese resistance leader Ho Chi Minh and the Viet Minh worked with the American Office of Strategic Services against Japanese forces, including providing intelligence on Japanese dispositions and activities. Such data may also be collected by auxiliaries in the local populace, or popular antennae, as these sources are described in one Viet Minh manual. The Viet Minh used children playing near Japanese and later French fortifications as a source of information on troop arrivals and departures, the guard system, and other pertinent details, all of which were easily observable by untrained children that aided the guerrillas in planning attacks. Undergrounds often excel at infiltrating government agencies and facilities, with the result that they have access to crucial military intelligence that can prove decisive. In March 2007, the LTTE launched an air attack on the Sri Lankan Army's Katuniyaka Air Force Base. The attack was successful mainly because the base's radar systems were undergoing maintenance and were therefore offline. The attackers obviously timed the attack based on this piece of critical intelligence, indicating that the underground had infiltrated the base or its command system. The LTTE's intelligence training came from the Research and Analysis Wing in India during the 1970s, when Tamil separatist groups were trained in camps in Tamil Nadu. Early in the movement, Thiru Venkadam Vilupulai Prabhakaran, senior leader of the movement, instructed operatives to collect the intelligence manuals of other countries, including the United States, United Kingdom, and Israel, and to translate them into Tamil. Most PIRA members kept day jobs and took part in operations during the weekends or evenings. Their regular jobs often helped in some way to support the PIRA. If they worked in a government office, gaining official paperwork, forms, or intelligence was part of their duty. Catholics in government administrative jobs provided rich information, such as the home addresses of policemen or loyalist paramilitary members, to the provisionals. Resistance movements that are allied with external powers or an exiled government thus provide invaluable intelligence aimed at the defeat of the occupying power. Intelligence activities in this context are generally conducted under the guidance of outside governments or companion military forces in the field. These sponsors not only assign targets for reconnaissance, but also give technical direction, because most underground personnel lack experience in this type of work. For example, in World War II, specially trained Jedburgh teams, composed of an American, a Briton, and a Frenchman, were sent into France to guide resistance workers in their intelligence surveys. These teams were also equipped to conduct the necessary radio communications with Britain. Likewise, Red Army personnel were assigned to Soviet partisans to direct these activities. When military personnel have not been available to give instruction, underground members have been instructed by manuals. This was done during World War II in the Soviet Union, where detailed booklets, such as the Guidebook for Partisans, were circulated for use in regions under German occupation. The following excerpt from a passage in this manual is a typical instruction. If you happen to encounter troops, do not show that you observe the enemy. Ascertain the color of their headgear, their collar braid, and the figures on their shoulder straps. If they have questioned the inhabitants about something, try to find out what the fascists have asked. This manual also gives tips for ascertaining enemy intentions. If an attack is planned, trucks will arrive loaded and depart empty. If the enemy intends to retreat, fuel and foodstuffs will be removed, roads and bridges will be demolished, telephone wires will be removed, and trains and trucks will arrive empty and depart full. Undergrounds cooperate with guerrilla forces in the intelligence function, and their activities most often overlap and complement each other. In South Vietnam, for example, Viet Cong underground operatives in local villages would often provide military intelligence to local militia groups, who would in turn add to the intelligence picture in support of Viet Cong main force units. Village guerrillas routinely passed intelligence on events in and around their village to district and provincial authorities within the Viet Cong organization. This type of reliable, systematic intelligence helped the insurgency maintain its grip on the rural villages that were their power base. Mass communication, such as radio, can also be used for collecting and passing intelligence to the insurgency. The Korean National Liberation Army in Burma used radio Katule in the 1980s and 90s to provide casualty reports and replay information to the diaspora in Thailand. They also used captured VHF radios recovered during combat operations with the Burmese military forces to acquire tactical information about the military's operations. In Sierra Leone, the Revolutionary United Front, RUF, likewise acquired information about United Nations operations through captured radios and also exploited the BBC Africa Service as an unwitting participant in the passage of mission orders to RUF commanders in the field, including instructions to converge on the capital of Freetown for Operation No Living Thing in the late 1990s. Sabotage intelligence. Sabotage is an underground function that aims at destructive attacks on critical and vulnerable infrastructure or personnel in an attempt to weaken government control and legitimacy. As with guerrilla operations, saboteurs operate in small, vulnerable groups and require exacting intelligence in order to complete their tasks. Reconnoitering transportation and communication facilities prior to sabotage attacks occupied much of the time of French resistance persons during World War II. Often working closely with Allied advisors, these people surveyed targets earmarked for sabotage on D-Day. In reconnoitering a bridge, for example, resistance members looked for such factors as the guard system covering the bridge and the bridge's construction. If a number of permanent troops were evident, a step to eliminate them had to be included in the sabotage plan. When there was only an occasional patrol, the resistance would time an attack to avoid the patrol. It was important to evaluate the bridge's construction so that the size of the explosives could be calculated. By determining the schedule of enemy train movements, saboteurs were able to destroy a stretch of railroad track while it was in use, thereby compounding the wreckage and complicating repair work. Danish railroad saboteurs had an elaborate system to provide this information. Throughout Jutland, underground members were stationed near major terminals to note the departures of enemy troop trains. Whenever one was seen, the observer telephoned prearranged code phrases to the sabotage cell in the next town on the railroad line. Members of this cell then proceeded to predetermined spots on the track to lay their mines. With this advance notice, the mines could be placed at the last moment, preventing detection by patrolling guards. The train delayed by sabotage might eventually reach the next stop, but there observers would be waiting to repeat the process. Using these observers along a train's route, the resistance was sometimes able to slow a train's progress by days or even weeks. In Kosovo, similar tactics and information queuing were used to target convoys along the main Pristina-Belgrade highway and effectively control this main route by placing mines and using snipers to take out key vehicles and limit the mobility of Serbian forces. Production facilities can also be surveyed by undergrounds in preparation for sabotage attacks. When possible, outside intelligence experts can aid underground personnel in planning factory sabotage, for these experts are best qualified to make the necessary technical judgments. It is a problem in itself to determine just which components within a plant should be incapacitated. Prior to the blowing up of a Norwegian heavy water plant being operated by the Germans during World War II, the preliminary reconnaissance was done by a special operations executive agent parachuted into Norway. Details about the factory's equipment were obtained from a Norwegian scientist in London. Other data, perhaps about the guard system and access to the equipment, apparently were supplied by underground workers in the plant. Attacks on national infrastructure have also become common acts of sabotage by insurgencies and require expert knowledge on which key pieces of infrastructure are most important, most expensive, and most difficult to repair. The Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia or FARC, and Sendero Luminoso made frequent use of attacks on electrical grids, telecommunications, and even roads and bridges in order to undermine the legitimacy of the governments they were opposing. The targets they selected were chosen in order to have the greatest impact upon the civilian populations in major urban areas and to cause significant economic impact. Scientific and technological intelligence. Secret scientific and military data may be obtained by recruitment of employees at scientific and military installations or by simple observation elsewhere. An example of the latter was the valuable data about the V-2 rockets obtained by the Danish resistance. During the summer of 1943, fishermen near the island of Bornholm began to report rashes of unidentified objects falling into the sea, and they were recorded by the resistance leader on the island. In August, the island's police commissioner notified the underground leader of the crash of a flying craft in a nearby field. The two men rushed to the scene before the Germans and found the wreckage of what was clearly a new kind of aircraft. The only identification mark was a number, V-1-83. The men took photographs immediately before the German investigators arrived. From the skid marks, the underground leader was able to determine that the device had come from the southwest. From the photographs, the underground chief drew a complete sketch of the weapon. This sketch, the photographs, and the notations as to the direction from which the missile had come were sent by courier to England, providing the British with perhaps their first technical data on the new German rocket. Political intelligence. Insurgent and resistance movements are keenly interested in political developments throughout the populace of their respective countries because their success or failure depends ultimately on political success. Underground agents collect political intelligence. They note the statements and activities of persons to determine who favors the regime, so that these persons may be closely watched or eliminated if their actions seriously threaten the underground. In Belgium during World War II, the resistance kept files on collaborators and campaigned by using threatening phone calls and letters to dissuade these individuals from working with the enemy. If this failed, the collaborators were often assassinated. The list of collaborators was never made public in order to keep concealed the extent of cooperation with the enemy. The Orange Revolution provides an excellent example of modern political intelligence and its ability to direct and fuel the actions of an insurgency. On November 21, 2004, the presidential runoff election was held in Ukraine, with nonpartisan exit polling showing the challenger Viktor Yushchenko with a 52% lead to the incumbent Viktor Yanukovych's 43% vote count. When the official results were released, however, Yanukovych was declared the winner with 49.5% to 46.6% for Yushchenko. More specifically, the ability to rapidly acquire and process the nonpartisan election data and distribute the results on the internet and via opposition radio and television allowed the members of this revolutionary movement to pinpoint in which specific districts the voting had been rigged, thus providing the clear evidence required to mobilize the masses and garner international support. In wartime, the underground can also note the morale of the enemy soldiers. The Polish Home Army systematically collected data on German troops by reading their mail because there were too few Germans to handle all of the postal work. These workers would open letters and photograph the contents before sending them on. From these letters, a fairly good estimate was made of the enemy's morale. Conclusion. Insurgent and revolutionary movements subsist on good intelligence. The gathering and communication of intelligence is one of the fundamental activities of the underground, and without it, such movements inevitably fail. While the collection of intelligence thus remains a critically important requirement for the organization, it is also one of the typically inherent strengths of undergrounds. An effective insurgency or revolutionary movement develops close ties with the population, rural, urban, or both. The closer and stronger those connections are, the better the flow of relevant, timely, and accurate intelligence. Many factors frame and influence the intelligence process. Language, cultural affinity, and methods of communication can either facilitate or inhibit intelligence efforts. The intelligence process is so closely linked with an insurgency's success or failure that it becomes a key focus of successful counterinsurgency. Government countermeasures, particularly when informed by enlightened counterinsurgency strategy and reinforced with effective governance that aims at solving core issues, can disrupt and neutralize an insurgency's intelligence efforts. These countermeasures include a spectrum of activities that ranges from simple operational security practices to the detection, identification, and elimination of enemy agents. When an insurgent group is denied effective intelligence, it cannot operate effectively, and its vulnerability to countermeasures increases. Absent relevant information on government activities, forces, dispositions, and weaknesses, such groups must either hazard ill-advised attacks or lapse into inactivity, threatening the movement's growth and relevance. Hence, effective counterinsurgency must include strong measures to disrupt enemy intelligence.